And of course also a great acknowledgement of gratitude to the school for allowing us to use their premises. As James has already said, we're going to have a day of meditation primarily, which will be interspersed with discussions and talks. I'm going to begin by offering some suggestions as to how we might practice sitting, walking meditation. But before I do that, could I just get a sense in this room, is there anyone who's never done a day like this before, a meditation day? Okay. And of those of you who have just put your hands up, are there some of you who have never even sat for an hour or more in meditation? Complete beginners. Yes. One, two. Okay. Thank you. So I'm going to begin by saying that meditation is extremely simple, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. It's simple, but arguably one of the most difficult things to do. And the reason for that, especially for beginners, is that you will soon find out why. Basically, the mind would rather do anything than meditate. Or, let's put it this way, when meditation is still a novelty, then it's interesting. And you might find, this is fun, this is interesting, I can do this. Until it becomes a routine, until it becomes something you're familiar with, and then the mind reverts to its normally distracted type. So I'm only going to suggest that we start the sitting, and I'm speaking particularly here to beginners, those of you who have already an established practice, please just do whatever you are used to, whatever you find of help. If you're not, if you're a beginner, as we know there are some, then I would suggest that you start just by paying attention to the natural rhythm of your breath. Now, to do this, it's helpful first to find a comfortable posture. You don't need to be cross-legged on the floor. A chair is perfectly adequate. But keep your back upright, comfortably upright, and your eyes half closed or closed, but in any case, inclined slightly towards the floor to a point roughly 3 feet in front of you. You can put your hands on your knees, you can put your hands on your lap, like this, like you see in the Buddha statues, or you can just leave them on your legs, however it's comfortable. You need to feel upright, alert, but also relaxed, at ease. And once you feel in a comfortable posture like that, then just notice what it feels like physically to be breathing. And this means paying attention to the sensations that you experience with each in-breath and each out-breath. These sensations start, obviously, in the nostrils, on the upper lip. You then feel the breath as it goes down the windpipe, expands the lungs, the diaphragm, pauses, and then the diaphragm and the lungs contract, and the air is exhaled, slightly warmer than when it came in. Well, depending on where you are, but in here, that would certainly be the case. And then there's another pause, and then the breath comes in. Now, we all know that. I'm not telling you something which is a great revelation. But the need to describe that somewhat clearly is in order to just make it explicit what it is that we're meditating upon. We're meditating upon these sensations in the body, however banal. For example, the sensation of your skin moving against your clothing as you exhale and inhale. That's part of it. You'll find that when you start to just let the breath naturally happen, there's a kind of rhythmic sequence of pressures and stretches and releases, sometimes quite difficult to actually vocalize these funny sort of physical sensations that are, on the one hand, terribly familiar, but on the other hand, rather difficult to put into words. And so the reason we do this is not because the sensation of the skin against the undershirt is particularly spiritual, but because it gives us a focus, an object that's always with us, breathing, to enable us to steady our attention on a single point, rather than to run around in our minds from one idea to the next. It gives us something to keep coming back to each time the mind drifts away, and I expect it will. So when you notice that you've forgotten about your breath and you're thinking about that thing you have to get for Aunt Mary for Christmas next week, and you mustn't get the same thing as you got last year, but you can't remember what you got last year, was that you? When the mind does that sort of thing, you just bring it back to the rhythm of the sensation of the breath. And we'll be sitting for between 30 and 45 minutes. The exercise is just, in many regards, that of continually returning to this primary, fundamental act of being alive. Meditation is a tool, an exercise, that helps us somehow become more centered, more focused. It gives us a degree of detachment, so that we're not endlessly caught up reacting to things. And over time, it begins to open up into an experience of a greater stillness and quiet than we might be familiar with. And it also begins to make our minds that much more alert and attentive and present to what's going on. Now, in the course of the day, pretty much everything that I will be talking about will amplify on that basic idea. How does this exercise of concentrating, of focusing, of stilling, and of making the mind more sharp, how does that have a positive role in how we actually lead our lives from day to day? Meditation is not some sort of opt-out clause from life. Life is difficult, I've got all sorts of problems, I'll go and meditate. Forget about them for a while. There is a certain element of that involved for many of us, perhaps. It's about retreating, about withdrawing from what's perhaps overwhelming in our lives. But ultimately, meditation is not about pulling ourselves away from things, but actually about establishing within ourselves a perspective, a sensibility, a consciousness that will enable us to hopefully be able to respond to the circumstances of life more clearly, hopefully more wisely, more kindly, more compassionately. And I do think it's of utmost importance that we recognize that meditation is a tool for living a full life. It's not an exotic Eastern technique that will make you enlightened, whatever that might be. So is that, as a basic instruction, clear for those of you who are new and are unfamiliar with this practice? Okay. Now, I'd like, in addition, to offer some further reflections on meditation. And these are just as applicable to those who are beginning as to those who have been doing this for a while. But perhaps they'll be more pertinent for those of you who already have an established practice. I'd like to emphasize that meditation is not, in the end, understandable as a technique. And again, we might find that an odd thing to say, because it seems to us in the West so obvious, in a way, that meditation is a technique. We talk of meditation techniques. What technique do you do? And we often talk of our meditation practice over the years as moving from one technique to another. And it seems a perfectly unproblematic way to talk about what we're doing. But I think for people in the modern world, the very term technique disguises an attitude that we might call technological. Often in English we don't notice that technique is actually the same word as technology, from the Greek techne. So a lot of our assumptions about technology are often encoded unconsciously in the idea that meditation is a technique. A technique, in a strict sense of the word, is a methodology or a strategy for resolving a problem. If our car breaks down, and we don't know anything about cars, like me, then I need to call a mechanic. And he will say, well, the problem, Gov, is that your carburetor is finished. And so he's identified the problem. The car doesn't run because the carburetor is broken. The carburetor, therefore, needs to be replaced. The mechanic, or the technician, then follows out that theory by replacing the carburetor, and then, bingo, the car works again. Problem is solved. So we think very often of a technique as something that solves the problem. And we might even think that meditation is a technique that solves the problems of our lives, solves the problems of existence. After all, didn't the Buddha say birth, sickness, aging, death, rebirth, karma, all of these terrible things, they are, as it were, to be left behind, overcome, transcended by attaining nirvana. That is pretty much the standard Buddhist trope on this. Now, I don't want to deny that there is a technical element to meditation, that it can solve problems in our lives. If it didn't, it wouldn't have been adopted by the NHS. Mindfulness in healthcare is largely used to solve problems like relapse into depression or coping with severe pain or anxiety. And if it's effective, then that problem goes away, or at least it becomes manageable and livable with. But I would suggest that the human experience, existence, or being here, is not a problem. And therefore it's not something we're trying to solve, because if to solve it would mean it would have to go away. And I can't imagine most of us are interested in a kind of spiritual suicide. So if existence isn't a problem, then what is it? Well, perhaps we could consider it to be a mystery. That the fact that we have been born with no choice on our own part, as far as we know, the fact that at one day we will be expelled from this earth, and in the interim we can suffer all kinds of maladies and age-related illnesses and so on. That is not so much a problem, but a mystery. We don't really know why on earth this is going on. And meditation for me is not, therefore, about solving certain short-term problems we might have about anxiety. But once, in a way, we reach a deeper state of stillness and calm and clarity, we become more and more sensitized to the sheer mystery of experience, the fact that we cannot pin it down in neat, useful categories. The more that we become intimate with our breath with our bodies, with our feelings, with our emotions, our intuitions, our thoughts, our lives, in a strange way, they become more of a mystery to us. We start to become slightly astonished, surprised that this is going on at all. That the habitual narrative or story that we keep telling ourselves in our head is only really scratching the surface of what's going on. That monologue that won't stop. It's just basically a kind of running commentary on the surface of my life. And it keeps us distracted, it keeps us entertained, it keeps us anxious, but it also keeps us somehow alienated, cut off from the sheer fact of being here at all. That each breath, in a sense, is a kind of miracle. And we also know, and this will become more and more evident as we continue sitting, that our very existence hinges on being able to take the next breath. We take the breath for granted, but at one point in our lives, we won't breathe in again. And in order to keep the brain oxygenated, we need to breathe to get the oxygen into the blood, and so forth and so on. And again, that's kind of self-evident. But I feel that we often don't fully realize the implications of this rather mysterious process called life. So meditation in this sense is not so much of a technique that's going to solve a problem, but rather it's a sensibility that opens us to the mystery of life itself. And a mystery, in contrast to a problem, is not something that disappears when we go more deeply into it, but if anything, it becomes more mysterious. It doesn't become less strange. It doesn't go away and become something obvious. So in this regard, perhaps one of the motifs of the day will be to explore how meditation is on one hand a technique for making the mind more calm, making us more relaxed, making us more able to deal with issues in the world perhaps, but at another level, we might say a deeper level, it's about coming to terms with the fact that we have been born and the fact that we will die. And this then throws us into a question. You know, if I may only be on this earth for a relatively brief and unpredictable period in the future, what does that mean? How would I seek to optimize such a time? How might my life be fulfilled? What might I do that could perhaps get me out of certain ruts or fixed patterns that I seem to be stuck in? So in the end, the practice of meditation leads us very much into the very questions that life itself presents to us. Okay, is that clear? Can we begin? Yes, okay. So we'll sit for half an hour, after which we'll continue the meditation outside by walking. Then we'll come back here and we'll have another sitting, another walking, and then we'll conclude this morning before lunch with a period of discussion, questions, whatever you have you'd like to explore in this wider group. And that should bring us to about 1 o'clock. Thank you.